it was my I think it was my first time teaching, and I was teaching at Mega Evers College, and I was walking into a classroom expecting to see 18 to 22 year olds, and who do I see but Sister Yvonne Cumberbatch? And she had that signature smile, and she took two courses with me, and every class she had that signature smile. And she was a wonderful student. And then one day I invited my wife. She was home from school. I said, you know, she said, no, I'll come to class with you. And she came to class and she walked in the room and all I could hear was Tante Yvonne. Yeah. And it's a small world. You never know who you know and who knows who you know. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Reading from verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I got my Father in the word, worthy and precious name of Jesus. We humbly approach thy throne of grace. Our Father, we just ask this morning that you would have me behind the cross and bring back to memory all that I prepared, and that this would be a wonderful time of ministry. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior or on Zoom, you would give them no peace, no rest until they come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. So Peter asked a question. And the question was, what are we to gain for our service? Now Jesus answered Peter by saying, truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you shall have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But Jesus told Peter that during his millennial reign, he said, for the kingdom of heaven is like, so Matthew, I'm reading now from Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. So what's interesting is that once a year in Israel, it was harvest time. The soil would be prepared and plowed in the spring. In summer, the men would go out, prune the vines. And then in September, it was harvest time. It was the grape harvest. And grapes come to harvest quickly. Now, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have organized labor. They didn't have labor unions. They didn't have governmental laws protecting the rights of workers. They didn't have all the rules and regulations that we have today. People back then at harvest time were hired in various villages and towns. And in each village and town, there was a place called the Agora. Sometimes it was referred to as the bazaar or the marketplace. And people would come and they would display their goods. And they would exchange their goods, they'd sell their goods. Children would come and play, dance and sing. The sick would come for treatment. There would be those who were philosophers and they would come and they want to talk about politics, philosophy, and religion. But there was one section in the Agora, there was a place where men would assemble. And these men were looking for work. We call those kind of men today day laborers. These workers would assemble in the Agora or marketplace with the hope that someone would hire them. Now, these people were individuals that were on the lowest level of the social strata in society. These day laborers didn't have regular jobs. These day laborers didn't have full-time employment. They were not regularly hired by anyone. They would work one day at a time. They didn't have all the privileges that you and I have of continuous employment. So they would take whatever jobs people would offer them. And if they didn't work, they didn't eat. If they didn't work, their families would go hungry for the night. So these people were desperate. These men were destitute. And they were dependent on being hired for the day. So this is the place that the landowners would come, and the owners of the vineyards would come and look for day laborers. And they would hire them one day at a time. Now, the good news is that they were able to feed their families. Now, the very first workers were hired at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. Now, the workday back then started at 6 a.m. And the typical workday was 12 hours. One would work from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. in the evening. Now, some would say, where does it say that in scripture? I know I'm talking to a brethren crowd. Or it's implied for the parable. If you look at the NIV, it says, he went out in the morning, and that's 6 o'clock, and again at 9, that's 9 o'clock, and again at 12, that's 12 noon, and again at 3, that's 3 o'clock, and again at 5, that's 5 p.m. Now, that's a very important point. Because in this first group, in verses 1 and 2, these workers were hired for a full day. And they were different from the rest of the laborers that were hired. See, there were two types of laborers that the man hired. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. So the landowner came to the agora. He looked for the strongest and physically fit workers. He looked for the best in the group, those that could give him the best 12 hours. And he said, let's go. And nobody started moving. Nobody started walking. And the landlord probably said, what's the problem? So you might have had one of the day laborers saying, well, you haven't said what you're going to pay us yet. And if you tell us what you're going to pay us, well, then we'll go. Now, that might sound a little arrogant, but that's what happened. Now, I know I'm talking to a brethren crowd, so you want to know, how do I know? Well, if you take a look at verse 1 and 2 again, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyards. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. He agreed. They had a discussion. You can't form an agreement with yourself. And that word agreed is really a legal term. An agreement is a contract. That's all that a contract is. And you can't have an agreement by yourself. So these parties, these day laborers, the landowner, they negotiated. They negotiated on a denarius for the day. And that usually was the going rate back then. So the landowner probably said, I'll pay each of you a denarius if you work for the day, the full 12 hours. And the men said, yes, we'll work for you. That's how the agreement was formed. But yet there was a second type of worker. Take a look at verses 3-7. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. There was no agreement. So they went. He went out again at about noon and about 3 PM and did the same thing. About 5 PM, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? And they said, because no one has hired us. And they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. So what's interesting here is that you have a second group of men. The second group of men didn't ask for anything. And the only thing they were promised was, whatsoever is right, I will give you. They simply said, we'll trust you, Mr. Landowner. You said you'd do right by us, we'll work for you. So what we see here is that there's no agreement. The landowner came at 9 a.m. There were still many men out of work. He said, how would you men like to work? And he said, whatever is right, I will give you. And they went. Then the landowner went back to the agora at 12 noon, and there were still many men not working. He said, how would you like to work for me? Whatever is right, I will give you. And they went. Then the landowner went back at 3 o'clock. And there were still many men not working. And he said, how would you men like to come and work for me? And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went. And the landowner came to the agora at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. And there were still many men not working. And he said, how would you men like to go and work for me? And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went. Now, the best workers, and we know our brother Norman is in construction, the best workers, like him, were chosen at 6 a.m. The mediocre workers were chosen 9, then again at 12. The low-level workers were hired at 3 p.m. Now, what kind of workers do you think were hired at 5 o'clock? These were the downtrodden. These were the weak. These were the sick. These were the lame. These were the disabled. These were the homeless. These were the last of the last. They were the lowest of the low. These workers were so awful that the landowner was the only person that would give them a job. Now, there's an interesting similarity in this story between the men that were hired at 6 a.m., the ones that were hired at 9 a.m., the ones that were hired at 12 noon, and the men that was hired, and the men that were hired at 3 o'clock, and the men that were hired at 5 o'clock. The landowner had no legal obligation to hire any of them. He could have gone to another marketplace. He could have gone to another agora, another town, another village. He was under no obligation to hire any specific man that particular day to work in his vineyard. God is good. Well, I kind of figured I'd get that response. But it gets better. You know, not only is God good to call us, but God is good to call us to his service. To be an elder, to be a deacon, to be a trustee, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a kitchen worker. I'm sorry, to the kitchen staff. I meant to say to a culinary art worker, to a van driver. But think about it. God chose us first. And God wants to accomplish specific things through each of us individually for his service. You know, God was gracious to create us. He's our creator. God was gracious to create a salvation plan to save us. God was gracious to send his only begotten son to be that sacrificial lamb for us. And God is gracious to use us in furthering his work. So you know what's interesting about this story? You and I are the 6 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, the 12 noon, the 3 p.m., and the 5 o'clock workers. Think about that. Then you have verse 8. And let's just see what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Beginning from the last unto the first. Now, I found that very interesting. Because it was the custom of the day that you pay Brother Norman first. It was the custom of the day that you pay the man that worked a good 12 hours for you first. Then the 9 o'clock worker, then the 12 o'clock worker, then the 3 o'clock worker, then the 5 o'clock worker. But the landowner here doesn't follow custom. He paid the men hired at 5 o'clock first. And why did he do that? Well, look at verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the landlord. So, you know, when the 12 o'clock workers saw that the landowner was giving the 5 o'clock worker a denarius, they were saying, wow, this is my day. If he's paying him a denarius for 1 hour, and I was here at 6 a.m. and got hired, that's 12 denarii. I'm going to buy me that BMW Chery. You know, I'm going to be able to go to the market and get my wife a nice Gucci bag. So they were excited. Well, it didn't turn out that way. Because it says that in verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now, today, the labor unions would say, illegal. The unions would say, that's not fair. They would say, we should form a picket line right outside his property. We should bring protesters. We should throw bricks at that guy. We should throw bricks at his property. Matter of fact, we ought to burn down his property. We ought to get the media. We ought to cancel him. We ought to get Facebook to cancel him. We ought to get Twitter to cancel him. Shucks, we ought to get Instagram to cancel him. As a matter of fact, we should get TikTok to cancel him. But if you think about it, and you go back to verse 1 and 2, they got paid exactly what they bargained for. Because verse 2 says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. You know something? God doesn't have to do anything for you. He doesn't have to do anything for me. Even if we propose to him that particular kind of deal, he doesn't have to take it. But if we do that, that's all we're going to get. What's interesting here is that God is teaching about salvation. In this parable, God is teaching about the blessings of heaven. That's what this parable is about. It's about the blessings of heaven. God is teaching about his love. God is teaching about his generosity. God is teaching about his blessings. And what's interesting is that the blessings of heaven don't relate. There's no correlation with the time that we serve the Lord. Now, I know some people are saying, well, I've been working hard. Trust me, the rewards will be there. I know. You know, looking for the crowns, right? Don't worry, the rewards will be there. They're different. But in this parable, he's talking about the blessings of heaven. But there's something else we don't have time to talk about, but I thought about this. I said, you know, in law, there are two types of agreements. You know, you can have an express contract like they had in verses 1 and 2. But you could also have an implied agreement. You know, when you walk into the supermarket, you know, when you leave church today and you buy some bread and milk, you don't negotiate with the store owner. You simply go take the milk and take the bread off the shelves. You go to the cashier, that person rings it up, you pay it, and you go home. That's called an implied contract. So there are times when contracts are formed based on behavior. And so I asked the question, could there be an implied contract between you and I with God based upon what we do after we're saved? Do we come, break bread, and then go home? Or do we come, break bread, work for the Lord, and do it again and again and again? But that's just a thought. But he ends with, but many that are first, in verse 30 of chapter 19, he ended with, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he mentioned that again in Matthew 20. Now, some theologians believe that our Lord was speaking to the Jews. You know, he wanted the disciples to know it, and he wanted it to be known amongst the Jews who had served the Lord faithfully for many years, many centuries. Because now that the gospel was open to everyone, Jew and Gentile, the Gentiles had done nothing for centuries in the Lord's service. But Jesus wanted them to know, whether a Jew or a Gentile, if you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, the blessings of heaven would be equal to both. There were many Jews who didn't want the Gentiles to benefit the way they felt they should. You know, sort of like, you know, being a member of an assembly. You know, some people have been members longer than others. So, you know, maybe I'm entitled to more privileges and benefits than others. But the question Peter asked was, what's in it for me? What's in it for the disciples? And Jesus basically said, there's going to be rewards. But he also wanted them to know that the blessings of heaven were going to be available to everyone. And this story is a beautiful picture of the grace of God. Because when you really think about it, everything this landowner did was grace. And it's very interesting how the landowner chose the downtrodden, the least of the least, those hired at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You know, God remembers and doesn't discriminate. So he remembered the 6 o'clock worker, the 9 o'clock worker, the 12 noon worker, the 3 o'clock worker, and the 5 p.m. worker. It is through the Holy Spirit that, you know, well, things work, and the landowner went out looking for those workers. And so this parable teaches us that God cares for us and that we all will enjoy the blessings of heaven. But there will be different rewards. So it's very interesting because when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to find in heaven? When we get to heaven, we're going to find thieves in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to find drug addicts in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to find prostitutes in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to find murderers in heaven. Some got saved just before they die. But they are going to enjoy the same streets of gold that you and I will enjoy. The prostitute who gave all of her life to sex and debauchery, to the devil and shame, and then got saved and died of AIDS 6 months later. The thief who gave all of his life to crime and destruction and to the devil and debauchery and shame, he gets saved in prison through a prison ministry and dies months later. The murderer who gave all of his life to evil and death and to the devil and then got saved through a prison ministry and died months later. The drug addict gave all of his life to the next high and fleeing pain and shame, and then got saved right before the last fix and died minutes later. They all will have the same benefits of heaven as you and I, who went to church every Sunday, like you and I, who grew up in a Sunday school. They're going to enjoy the same streets of gold. So it's a very interesting parable. And after I thought about it, I thought about what God owes me. And when you really think about it, the only thing that God owes me and anybody in this room is eternal damnation. You know, if you really think about it. And but the beautiful thing is that because we've come to know him, we're going to enjoy the same blessings of heaven, no matter how long we serve God, 6 months or 60 years. Well, if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'd like to invite you to come to know Jesus Christ and to know his life eternal. I'd like to invite you to come and learn about and come to know the landowner whose grace eternal, and who can change your life, bring you from death to light. All you got to do is say a simple prayer. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've heard your word. I trust you. I believe in you as my Lord and Savior. You say that simple little prayer, you're born again. And all the blessings of heaven will belong to you too. Amen. God is good. Nah, I still don't think you got it. God is good. That's it. That's it. Every day he gets better.